Hello, Dickheads. Richard here. Kind of doing another mini episode. I'm sorry, my schedule's been just outrageous full of stuff, so I didn't really get a chance to write an episode and get the boys together for a full-blown episode. I've been busy doing stand-up all over the place. I do trivia at bars and ski resorts, stuff like that. I also do the podcasts, you know what I mean? So I overextended myself. I got Timmins Comedy Festival coming up. So if you want to catch Ed the Sock in Timmins on April 25th at Full Beer Brewing, go ahead, go online, get your tickets now. There's not going to be lots left. The festival is going to be awesome. I know Just for Last died, but we're still killing it. If you want to see me go roast Kins and Klomp, that's what's happening. It's a roast show. I've been busy. I brought my kid to Toronto to go watch the Toronto Raptors. Good times. Got right on the court. It's kind of nice. Family stuff, Easter, today's Easter night. So I didn't want to leave you guys hanging for an episode because I care about you guys a lot and I want this show to continue going. So consistency is key. So that being said, I'm going to do what I promised you guys I was going to do. Mini episodes on the Knights of the Roundtable. I kind of wanted to go through the Knights one by one, slowly here and there. So that's what this episode's going to be. It's going to be an episode about one of the Knights of the Roundtable. We just finished the Arthur thing. Kind of was going to wait a couple episodes before I gave you one of these bonus ones. But, you know, time crunch and these episodes are just going to be short. So I figured, yeah, why not? Let's do one we mentioned a bunch of already in the King Arthur series. Let's talk about King Arthur's, I guess, what would you call him? His stepbrother? Not really a stepbrother, I guess like an adoptive brother. I don't even know what that's called. But yeah, let's talk about Sir Kay, one of the OG Knights of the Round Table.
An elite team of private detectives.
What if balloons are aliens? Maybe that's the key component we're missing.
Cover-ups.
John's guilty.
Mysteries that need to be solved.
Maybe Mormons need mountains.
Richard, shut up.
So like I said, I'm going to do these mostly solo. Friend Christy from Unethical Podcast wants to come on for a couple of them because she loves this Arthurian shit. So I'm going to get her on a couple. But today, this one's going to be by myself. So Sir Kay, as you might remember, is Arthur's stepbrother. I don't even know if that's the right term. I don't know when you're not even adopted. You're just like kind of dropped off at someone's house, at Sir Ector's house. And then he has a kid. Is that your stepbrother or is that like foster brother? Let's say foster brother, kind of like a foster parent. So Sir Kay was Arthur's foster brother, son of Sir Ector, the guy who took Arthur in after Merlin won him in a rape spell bet he made with Arthur's father, Uther Pendragon. If you remember the old rape spells, like, I'll make you look like her husband. You got to bang her, though, and you got to give me your kid. So talked about Kay a little bit in the Arthur series, just a bit. Like, when Arthur was, like, Kay was a couple years older than Arthur, I guess, and when they were kids, Kay got, you get knighted, I guess, when you're 18, 19 or something like that, or that's what the way it makes it sound. And Arthur would have been a 12 or 13. So Kay would have been about 6, 7 years older than him. When Kay became a knight, he wanted to go to the games and go participate in the sword fighting. I think I mentioned this before. Sword fighting was kind of like the lower echelon games. Like the jousting was the big games. But he was going to be in the sword fighting. Kay signs up for the sword fighting, but he loses his sword. And Arthur, being his squire, felt guilty about his sword getting lost or whatever. Goes out into the middle of the night, London in the middle of the night. Finds the sword in the stone. Pulls the sword in the stone. The royal sword gets then brought over to Kay, who tries to pretend that he pulled the sword out because everyone was like, where'd you get the sword? Because if you pulled that sword out, you're king now. So obviously someone's going to be like, hey, everyone knows the sword. It's a famous, probably the most famous sword in the land. So you see Sir Kay walking around and Sir Kay is a big dude. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but Sir Kay would, you noticed him without the sword. And when he has the sword, like you notice it right away, right? So everyone's like, where'd you get the sword? He said, I pulled it from the stone. And then his dad actually comes out and questions him in front of the crowd and goes, hey, Sir Ector goes, hey, where'd you get the sword? And he couldn't lie to his dad. So he told his dad the truth that Arthur had actually brought it to him. And everyone turned in amazement, saw Arthur, you're the king of England, the once and future king, blah, blah, blah. We're not talking about him today. We're talking about Kay. Sir Kay in Arthurian legend is kind of like, I think I said this in the episode before too, he's kind of like the opposite or the foil of Arthur, you know? He's known to have a violent temper. He's just a jerk in general. He's cruel, especially to women. I think he hits a woman in one of the stories. Sir Kay just exists to basically be the opposite of Arthur, you know, guy that is there, but he's not quite got the same like valor and chivalry that Arthur would have. You know, even though he's a knight and he had to take his oath, but still, when Arthur becomes king, he doesn't pull at the table right away and decide he's going to get. He's got some advisors and stuff. And one of the biggest supporters and helpers in Arthur's court would be Kay. Kay loved him as a brother, even though he was kind of a doofus and did opposite shit, right? Like I said, Kay was a big man, super tall, super muscular, but not really like the greatest warrior. He was a great warrior. Don't get me wrong. He was the Knight of the Round Table. He was fierce. But compared to the other Knights of the Round Table, he was kind of like on the lower echelon of like knights, you know, kind of like the guy you like, oh, your brother's the king. I see. You know, just that guy. I'm kind of painting Kay in like a terrible way. He's not, he's a good guy. A lot of guys said that, or a lot of guys, this guy I know, it's a source. And one of the books that I was reading, the articles that I was reading online, a couple of them say that Sir Kay was a Saxon. But like, you know, one of those good Saxons, like a Saxon that's a Christian, you know, like you change to Christian. Not one of those dirty druid Saxons. Get those the fuck out of here. So I found that great. When Arthur ascends the king, Sir Kay becomes actually, like I said, very prominent in his life in the English court. He gets the position of King Stuart and the Count of Anjou. Now, King Stuart means like he is appointed by the king to actually like represent him in like official king matters, I guess. Yeah, he got that. And then he was the Count of Anjou, which just got like to be in charge of the County of Anjou. He was basically like the ruler there. So pretty big jobs just given to a guy who was kind of like a big old doofus. You know, like he's not a doofus. I shouldn't say doofus. He's just not the best knight. But he's there. Yeah, you know what's also funny about Sir Kay? He's also said to have had mystical powers. There's a passage actually about his powers, and it's quoted when speaking of Sir Kay. So here goes, quote, 9 nights and 9 days his breath lasted underwater. 9 nights and 9 days would be he without sleep. A wound from Kay's sword no physician might heal. When it pleased him, he would be as tall as the tallest tree in the forest. When the rain was heaviest, whatever he held in his hand would be dry for a handbreadth before and behind because of the greatness of his heat. And when his companions were coldest, he would be as fuel for them to light a fire. So, yeah. He doesn't have to... He can hold his breath underwater for 9 nights and 9 days. He doesn't have to sleep for 9 nights and 9 days. If he stabs you, it's not going to heal. He could be as tall as he ever wants. When the rain was heaviest, he kept stuff dry because he's hot as shit, dude. So I think it's kind of funny. Yeah, he's referred to as one of the 3 Enchanter Knights of Britain. I'm not going to tell you who the other 2 Enchanter Knights are. I'm going to wait until we get to that part of the minis, one of those guys in the miniseries. But he is called that. Now, I know you guys I know everybody makes fun of me because I can't pronounce words. I'm sorry, I'm stupid. But here's going to be one. So Sir Kay had a wife named Andravit. Kay first meets his love, Andravit, when her father, the king of Northumbria, is holding a tournament. Sir Kay is supposed to be jousting, and he sees Andravit, and he falls madly in love with her. But he's too scared to tell her. So he goes back to King Arthur's court and tries to forget about Andravit after the tournament's over, which he did not win, I don't think, because he's Sir Kay, you know? Actually, I'm lying. I think he did win because I think Andravit gets all pumped up because he won. I think Andravit actually falls in love with him because he did win. That's neither this or there. He's still Sir Kay. A few months later, Arthur gets word back that the king of Northumbria has died and his brother has taken the throne. And that his brother is trying to marry off Andravit, his niece, to a commoner, just so he can take the kingdom forever. So Kay gets word of this from Arthur, and he says, no, that's the girl I love. I'm going to get her. I'm like, I could marry her, you know? I could go be the king of Northumbria. So Kay heads back to Northumbria, and he breaks up the commoner wedding with his love, Andravit. And Andravit remembered him because he did win the tournament. And she fell madly in love with him, and she gets her throne, and he's kind of the king of Northumbria, even though she's in charge. I'm just going to say that. You know why I'm going to say that? Because it's Sir Kay. Yeah, so they seem like they're happily married. They have 3 kids, 2 sons, Garenwind, and Gronosis, and a daughter named Kelemon. 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 I love it. I wish I was like, when I was having kids, I would have seen these old school names, because Garenwin, come on. Vernosis, I'm just kidding. These are terrible names. I'm glad we moved to like Brad's, you know? Cynthia's, even Cynthia, you know, that's perfect. It's a little bit funky, but you could do it. Gronosis, I don't even know what you're saying there. All right. There's not many stories that feature Sir Kay. There's a few. Well, I'll tell you a couple, but like I'm going to save some other stories because they involve other knights as well. So once we get to the other knight, I'll use that story and one of their stories too. But I'll tell you a couple of them. So one of them is the story of the giant of Mont Saint Michel, Mount Saint Michael. So there's this giant who lives in the Mount Saint Michael, and he's terrorizing an English town just off, like, I'm not sure exactly which town, okay? But it says on the English coast, so I'm assuming it's a coastal town. The giant lived on the top of the Mount Saint Michael. Mount Saint Michael was an island on itself. Many men would try to challenge the giant, but they would be crushed by his mighty hand. If they tried to attack him on his island, their boats would be pelted with giant rocks by the giant sitting on high. And you're wearing plate armor at the time. You know, you're just going to sink. You're done. It doesn't help you. Once the giant ventured into town to steal the daughter of the Duke of Hull, and the giant just destroys the town in the process, and he grabs her kind of like you'd see in a movie by the leg and just walks her up the back up his mountain into his little hole with her. And lots of knights, like I said, tried to go save the damsel in distress, but many knights just ended up at the bottom of the sea or crushed by a club. The poor Duke, missing his daughter, doesn't really know what to do, so he sends for help from his king, King Arthur. Arthur decides, you know what? This is a worthy cause. We're going to go. We love questing. If we know one thing about Arthur, he loves a quest, a good quest. So he brings with him Sir Kay and Sir Bedivere. So the three knights of the round table head out. So Sir Arthur had actually heard that a lot of knights had been dying when they go try to attack the island via boat. So he waits for a foggy night so he can kind of get some like cover, but from the fog, and they go really quiet. They don't turn on their 10 horsepower engines like the other knights had been doing. Just yeah. Imagine they just had fucking gas motors back then. It'd be like, yeah, they'd probably just use it as a weapon. They'd probably just flip over the fucking outboard and just use it like, oh, it's good. It's better for killing, because that's what kind of fucking crazy assholes these guys were. Anyways, I digress. They get on the island. Once they're on the island, it's still a night. The giant doesn't see them. Arthur and his pair of knight friends, they see in the distance two burning fires, one to the west and one to the east. One of them was bigger, one of them was smaller. Arthur decides, let's investigate the smaller one. He sends Bedivere. They'll set up camp, and Bedivere goes to investigate. Arthur says, do not engage. Just come, go see what it is, come back. Then Bedivere gets close, and he can hear an elderly woman crying. As he gets closer to the fire, he sees said older lady sitting beside a tomb, sobbing. She was crying over the grave of a young lady she had nursed since childhood, who had recently been killed by the giant. She warns Bedivere to get the fuck off this island. That giant's going to kill all of us, as she's sobbing. She's like, get him off. Get him. He's going to kill you too. He's going to kill you too. So, you're all going to die on this island. You're all going to die. Anyways, yeah, she also like tells Bedivere like the only reason the giant didn't kill her is because he likes the way she's crying. Like, I kind of like the way she's crying. It's kind of fun. Get out of here. I shouldn't make fun of this lady. Her little daughter, I guess, died. Anywho, so Bedivere rushes back to Arthur and Kay, tells him what he'd seen. Arthur, now hearing about this little dead girl, he's more determined than ever. He likes to hear a girl cry. I'm going to kill this fucking giant, man. I'm going to kill this fucking giant with Excalibur here. So he starts towards the bigger fire. Kay and Bedivere following right behind him. As they approach the bigger fire, Arthur whispers to his friends to stay back. Arthur wants to surprise the giant and hopefully slay him with Excalibur when he isn't paying attention. So even though Arthur tries to be quiet, I guess he steps on a branch or ruffles some leaves or something like that. But the giant notices him right away. And the giant leaps to his feet and picks up a gore-filled oak tree he used as a club to defend himself against an already attacking Arthur. The giant swings his big stick, and Arthur jumps over top of it, right towards the giant's head. He goes for a death blow through the left eye of the giant, but he misses, and he cuts the massive man across the lower part of his forehead. The blood starts to drip into the eyes of the giant, blinding him. As the giant rubbed blood from his eyes and blindly swinging his club, Arthur makes a precise stab right to the heart of the beast. The gigantic man falls to the ground like an old wood tree, slamming so hard into the ground that birds kilometers away fly in fear. Now this part of the story, like, so far Arthur's just killed this giant, right? This is where Sir Kay comes into play, which I find hilarious. Arthur calls him over. He goes, "Hey, Kay, get over here. I want you to chop off this giant's head so we can bring it back down to the village and we can show them that, like, we killed a giant. Okay? Your turn." So, like, Kay, that's it. Kay does nothing. Kay just cuts the fucking giant's head off for Arthur, who just did all the work. I fucking love it. I love how he's just like, I bet you Arthur was like, "You got to carry the head too. I'm tired. I just had to fight. You didn't really do much, so you can carry the head." Arthur's the hero. Kay's the bitch. You know, the foil. They're opposites. You know, Kay just stood there. I bet you they could have helped. Like, Sir Kay and Bedivere were there. They were nearby. They just went, "Oh, look at Arthur and Excalibur," and just let him do it. Anyways, he's Sir Kay. Anyways, there's another story where Kay kills another giant. Arthur's called to save another maiden. The story involves Kay and five other knights doing a series of quests that lead them to saving this maiden. This is one of those quests I'm kind of going to breeze over because it's more of somebody else's quest. So I'll tell it when it's their time, but I'll give you a little rundown. So one of the quests that they have to do, these knights, is kill a giant for his magic sword. Actually, Kay is actually the killer this time. So Kay is kind of a badass in this one. Another one of the quests is killing a witch for her blood so they could make someone's magical beard be able to be cut. Not a joke. I'll tell more about that later. But yeah, the witch's blood just softens up that beard enough to be clipped off. And they need this dude's magic beard hair for their quest. After these quests, Arthur and Kay lost a lot of men. Kay and Arthur are never the same after this. It's kind of a sad one. They lose a bunch of guys. Yeah, so it's another giant killing one. So it's kind of like, not like, do I have to get into the giant killing every time? They're going to kill a lot of giants, you know? I don't know. But you'll hear more about it in another episode about another night. Just be excited for it. So here's some more. Another story involving Sir Kay I talked about in the Arthur episodes was the whole, like, Knight of the Cart, Lancelot thing where Meligent steals Guinevere, you know, and Sir Kay's like, he's like, "If you want your wife back, you got to come fight me single combat." And Arthur's like, "Oh no, I must send a knight." And then, like, Kay's like, "I'll go. That's my sister-in-law. You know, I'm going to go save her." And everyone's like, don't send Kay. It's Sir Kay. Why would you send Sir Kay?" And Arthur's like, "Well, it's my brother." And Sir Kay's like, "Come on, man, just send me, bro." And everyone's like just shaking their head as Arthur, like, being the nice guy, just goes like, "Yeah, you go. Have fun. You can get her back. I know you can. It's just Meligent." And Lancelot doesn't want to tell everyone he's banging Guinevere either. So he's kind of like just kind of silent, going with the crowd. But he's like, he wants to go. So anyways, Sir Kay goes. I didn't really tell you what he does. So he makes it to Meligent. And Meligent kicks his ass. That's all. It's just, it is what it is. It's Sir Kay. Like, we all knew that was going to happen. But he takes Sir Kay as, like, he's taken for leverage. I'm not really sure why he's taken for leverage. It doesn't really make sense to me. You just heard me ramble on forever about leverage. But anyways, he gets back to the Kingdom of Gore with Kay in hand, Guinevere in hand. Lancelot comes and saves the day. After Lancelot saves the day, Kay is accused of banging Guinevere because there's blood all over her bed. And he was, like, passed out in her room when he was, like, he was knocked out, beat the fuck up, and Lancelot came up and fucked Guinevere in the middle of the night, his lover. But Lancelot was bleeding from fighting Meligent and just won. Kay was passed out dead in the corner. So as soon as the maidens came up in the morning, they said, "Oh no, someone's been fucking the queen. It must have been Sir Kay, his foster brother. Oh no." And then I guess Lancelot has to go defend him to Meligent, being like, "No, they're not having an adulterous affair. It's not happening. Kay and Guinevere are not banging." Yeah, and then that's really the only contribution Kay has to the Knight of the Cart story. When I do Lancelot, I'll do the whole story. I did kind of breezed over it in the other episode too. Sir Kay is also featured in the Holy Grail story, and he's an asshole in that. I'll tell you some highlights from Kay, but I'm not going to tell the whole story. Kate, at one point in the night, it'll be funny when you hear this later, but in the Holy Grail story, he slaps a maiden. Just slaps her because she's like, Percival's a good knight. And he's like, Pfft. Or she doesn't even say that. She says, Percival will be a great knight. And he's like, you dumb bitch, and just backhands her. And everyone's like, oh, that's a knight of the round table. So later on, Percival in that story breaks Kay's shoulder as a revenge for that. So he gets his. Kay gets his from other people. But like I said, more on that story when I do the Holy Grail. So Kay ends up surviving the war against the Romans and King Lucius. At some point, he's sent to find Excalibur Scabbard, the one that Morgan le Fay chucked away years prior, but he didn't find it because he's Sir Kay. Sir Kay dies in the final battle against Mordred and his rebellious army. Kay is buried at Cayn or Chinon. Kay is kind of boring, but this is what I was kind of like looking for, is just a little bit of Kay. Kay's been in a lot of stuff though since. Like, he's prominently featured in all the Arthurian stuff I've ever seen. He's always his brother and stuff like that. Like, if you remember the Sword in the Stone, he's definitely, Sir Kay is definitely there. He's been in almost all anything Arthur related that's been on TV. Like, if you see that that Canadian show, I don't know if you remember, if you're Canadian, I remember I wanted to watch it. It wasn't that good, but it was called Camelot, and Kay's in that. So like, I don't know how much Kay's in everything, but I mean, he's around still, just like King Arthur. And I do enjoy the fact that he exists because, you know, we all just need a guy that's kind of like, you know, Sir Kay. So thanks for listening, guys. We'll be back in a couple weeks. I promise I got a special episode coming up for our next release. If you want to go to our Facebook page, go to Private Detective Agency, come hang out, come say hi. I'm active enough. I wish I was more talkative. I'm just not on social media. I'm there. I don't know what to say. Hey, what's up? Tell me five things you like about yourself. Tell me about your wife, man. Like, that's weird. Why would I see what I mean? Like, I don't want to talk, but if you want to talk, we'll talk. I'd love to hear from you. I'm good on one-on-one conversation, just social media. Just, here's my breakfast. I don't know. I wish I could. Selfie time, duck lips. Anywho, go to our YouTube channel if you want to go check out some little clips. I've been putting on TikToks. I don't know if anybody's been noticing them, but they've been out. Just cut little clips of the episodes featuring our faces. If you do want to go check our faces more, go to www.unethicalpodcast.com/Patreon and you go get all of our uncut videos, early access to episodes, and that's about it. Thanks, guys.
I just watched Private Dicks and I think RJ's the funniest.
What? Come on!